I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
We're looking at our lives to see if the answers that we have accepted are up to our own standards, okay? It's important for us to do that because whether we've actually had the thought or not, we have all agreed that everything has to be reasonable and reliable for us to call it believable. And that is a good thing. That's what beliefs should be. Because if our beliefs are meant to make sense of life's chaos and confusion, they had better be believable. Amen. Or you're foolish. That's just how it goes. A lot of us kind of are from time to time. But what I want you to do right now is honestly, okay, very broadly, take a second right now, think through the way that you see the world and honestly ask yourself, is what you believe believable? All right, because we all have some crazy things that we think here, but is it actually believable? And most of you can say, yeah, that's why I believe it, right? Good, okay, great. But here's my follow-up question. How believable? All right, how believable? Because beliefs can be better, you know, better supported by better reasons to give you better confidence that your beliefs are better than the alternatives, of which there are many. And at that point, when you have that better belief, what you believe isn't just believable anymore, it's become convincing. Oh, and that's a good feeling. That is awesome. It's the, you know, I discovered this. Paul uses this word all the time. And I realized that's what we want right there. Listen to how he talks about his battle-tested beliefs. He says, I know whom I have believed and am convinced. I am convinced that nothing really will be able to separate us from the love of God. In fact, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade, which is literally the same word for convince, others. Because this right here, right? Okay, this idea, this is the brand of belief that brings relief. Relief in all of our times of trouble. This is the belief that lets us see through our momentary affliction to the purpose behind it, and it empowers us to persevere when we can't quite see any good reasons for today's toughness, and we all know that feeling. This is the kind of belief that has been tested and proven beyond a reasonable doubt. And if we want our beliefs to become convincing convictions, then we too have to deal with those doubts by calling them out, just like this popular game show. Have you seen Deal or No Deal? Because I want to know how I'm working with you. Put your hand up if you've seen the show. Okay, we got, oh good, that's gonna help us out a lot here. But if you've never seen it, let me run through real quick the way that this works because I just love this analogy so much. But there's 26 different cases with different amounts of money in each case, ranging from a penny to $1 million, all right? And then the contestant picks one of those closed briefcases at the start of the game, right? And that they just are hoping it has the $1 million in it. But then, for the rest of the game, they then choose the other cases one at a time, and they're immediately opened and then eliminated from play. And then periodically throughout that process, the player is offered an amount of money to just quit right there, stop playing, and then they're asked, deal or no deal? Can we get you to quit? And if they reject every deal, every offer, right, and they keep opening all these other cases, then the player gets to open up the one that they picked at the beginning and see what the amount is that they've been saving this whole time, and they get to keep that. That's how it works, okay? Does that make sense? We got that. Well, that's pretty much how life works too. All right, I'm gonna make the case for that. It's just a game of exploring all of our different options to get what we want before the game is over. And in life, look, we know it. We've all got a goal, right? We've all got a goal that is our hope that we're hoping for this whole time, and that's our case. That's the thing that we want. So the question really is, what prize are you playing for? What are you hoping is in that closed case that you've forsaken all other cases and you've said no to all the other deals to get you to quit? What are you hoping is in that case? $1 million? That'd be nice, right? Well, what's the one thing, though, that we want more than anything in the whole world? Any ideas?
Jesus.
Jesus, that's good. He's in the case, yeah. That's right, same answer. Well, let me ask you this. Are you sure you even know? Are you sure you know what it is that you want more than anything else? We don't ask ourselves that question that often because it's actually really easy to ignore. So I'm going to have you double check with a couple of questions here. Let me ask you this. If you were given $1 million right now, how would you feel?
Happy.
Yeah, happy. I think so. It's all right. I know we're in church and we're not supposed to say such things, but you'd be happy. That'd be pretty good news. And could anything get you down for the rest of the day? It'd have to be pretty catastrophic, right? Because they're like, you're fired. And you'd be like, I don't care, right? It just doesn't matter. I got $1 million all of a sudden, all right? Because we know how that just puts things into perspective. It's so great. Okay, well, what if I gave you $1 billion, right? I make it $1 billion. And on top of it, in this scenario, you're a gorgeous movie star. And you're so adored by the whole world that they elect you the first ever emperor of Earth. I mean, it's as good as it gets, right? This is great. It's everything that you could ever want, all right? You're feeling pretty good. You probably couldn't get down for at least the rest of the day. You'd feel pretty good about yourself. Okay, but here's the follow-up question. What if you were offered all this, everything that you ever wanted, but it had one little catch? And here's the catch. You won't wake up tomorrow. Today's your last day. You taking it?
No.
Of course not. Of course not. But why? Why would you not? And what does that say about us? Why wouldn't we? And I tell you, it's because it's this really unique thing that we forget, we overlook. It means that there is something that we value in tomorrow more than the promise of power and possessions and prominence. There is something else about just living that we would trade everything on earth to have. So what is that? What is that? Well, I'll tell you what, that right there, the answer to what that is what we want in our case more than anything, because we want the meaning of life and we want a life to live out that meaning. That's what we're doing. That's what we want so bad. We want the truth. We want to know what it's all about. And the world is just full of cases that offer that supposed truth or some truth in varying amounts and in various different forms. But as we all know in our heart of hearts, only one can have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So that's what we're looking for. And we're exploring our options. And I tell you what, Jesus says, I got what you're looking for. So what is the basis for building our belief on the case of Christ? Why would we pick old number 7 there? Aside from the fact that it's glowing and obvious, all right? He makes it easier than we pretend it is sometimes, but he says, maybe this one? Anyway, what reasons do we have? Why should we call his number, and what reasons do we have to hold on to it when the other offers start rolling in? And when we're looking at all these other cases? Well, I'll tell you what, one of the most interesting, compelling arguments is that he knew what we were looking for before we did, right? We're out here chasing all of these other answers, money, power, prominence, whatever it's going to be, but he knew it ahead of time. Many of the worldly answers are still promising you power, possessions, and prominence. That's the stuff that we all think that we want so much. But God makes his case by offering our deepest desire prior to us ever even asking for what we want, what we really, really want. I mean, some of us just found out a couple minutes ago what it is that we actually really, really want. And that is long after God said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And right there you go. There's your meaning and your life. And later on, we're told God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to us, his followers, so that we may be greatly encouraged Thank you. That helps. We need that. And it's not like this is just some general, generic promise of a prize that's going to be satisfying, because to make his case, he really gets specific. He says, I want to make sure you know what I'm talking about, that we're on the same page here. And he clarifies. He says, I have come so that they, his followers, may have life. That's what you want. And not just any old life, life, and have it to the full. Now, as for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. We got to remember, right? We got to remember the case that he's making, because this is what he promised us. To be clear, it is eternal life. And so why do we need this hammered into our heads so hard? Well, actually, he tells us also, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Because yes, okay, so I'm offering you this. This is what I'm telling you is going to be in your case. But also, I got to keep your eyes on the prize. It's, we wander a lot here, but until the game ends and you actually open your case, it's going to take considerable confidence to stay strong enough to not let all of those other cases build the doubt that convinces you to cash out. Because you just, you stare them down, you see them all over the place. These, all these other options, and a lot of them are attractive. A lot of them are giving you something that you just, I want that one. It's tough. But, okay, God is so good. Here's what he did. Here's the really, really good, really good news. He says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. You get that? I mean, he's helping us cheat. He gave us a guaranteed game plan that has already been proven to win the prize. And here's part of the key. He goes on, he says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. You know, steer clear of all those other offers, just like Jesus did, no matter how enticing they are. And that right there is the game changer. That's the game changer, because what we're saying here is Jesus came and he picked the case. He did it already. He played the game, and then he opened it up at the very end for all to see. All to see. He did that on Easter morning and said, boom, life, that's what you want. And here it is, and here's how you get it. Which means that we all have in that book, the account of it happening, we have a proven beat by beat cheat sheet. Where the money's at, we know. It's not hard. It's right there. That's how easy it can be. We just got to do what he did. Like, again, this is a rerun. We're watching the same show that he already won. And the whole purpose of him giving us that cheat sheet is to help us win the prize that we want more than anything in the whole world. So what is the holdup? How come we're having a hard time? Trust. It's trust. That's it. You can have it. Having the cheat sheet is great. It is wonderful. But it's also just like having a treasure map, right? You can have it, and you're still not using it, because the only thing that is between you and your goal is following the path on the paper. You got to actually go do it. But before we'll go quit our jobs to go on the quest, we got to decide if the author is actually the real deal. You know? You don't follow a treasure map on the back of a cereal box. It depends on where you got it, you know? So how do we build the trust that turns believable into convincing? Ask for help, guys. Ask for help. Realize that you don't know on your own. You got to just ask for help. I mean, after all, that is what God's book suggests that we do, and it is what it illustrates with stories like this story that I love so much, that is the father who was trying to trust Jesus to save his son. And he says, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Oh, Jesus, if you can, he says. If you can, says Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. And immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. But he also said, help me overcome my unbelief. And wait a second, right there, that's bizarre, right? Wait, you can believe and you can have unbelief at the same time? Yes. Yes, you can. And guess what? You're still a Christian. It's okay. As a matter of fact, you're a very good Christian, because honest humans know that they can't know everything. That's the truth. Stop acting like you do. And even after we've watched the way that Jesus won, watch the whole show play out, right? When it's our turn to play the very same game with the very same cases, all right? No matter what, when we see those closed cases, we start feeling frightened anyway. We have those short memories. It's hard for us to trust in what we just saw. But we feel frightened and we indulge our doubt anyway. And we start to ask ourselves things like, well, what if things have changed since Jesus, though? You know, what if they're different now? What if I missed something in the instructions? What if I wasn't paying enough attention? What if I'm just worried that I'll do something wrong, and that can paralyze us with fear sometimes. You ever feel like that? Yes, you have. And guess what? That's okay. That's more than okay. That's expected, which is why he says to ask for help. So just ask for help to overcome. Overcome your unbelief. And if you ask for that, God will give you good, great reasons to trust what you can't currently see, right? Which is what's in that case. You're holding on to his case. You want to peek so bad because he'll help you out with that. He'll help you. And you know what? You're not alone. We're in great company, by the way, when we are asking to build our belief, because even the apostles asked for that help. Remember this scripture? The apostles are the ones who said to the Lord, increase our faith, right? And remember what that means. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The substance and the evidence of things not seen. It is the help that you need to know what's inside that case before you get it, before you open it up. That's what faith is, and he's all about helping you increase that faith, to get you look at the case that you're holding on to. An apostle or not, of course, we all want that sneak peek, right? We all want to just make sure that we got the right one here. We want to sneak peek at the unseen, not only in our case, but in each closed case before we play, because seeing for yourself eliminates that discomfort of doubt, and that's the feeling that we hate so much, right? Just wondering, having that nagging doubt. But remember this, okay? Whenever you're having that, first thought should be, we already got our look. We got our look at what Jesus has to offer on Easter morning 2,000 years ago. So now, really, the question is, are we going to just try and look past every other option by our weak willpower and just try and keep our eyes on the prize? Or are we going to build our belief by opening all the other cases to absolutely destroy the doubt and prove the prize in a process of elimination? Because that's how it goes, right? If you open every other case and there's only one left and there's only the $1 million, you know you have it, right? That's how it works. You can eliminate the doubt completely. And remember, the key to the game was keeping ourselves from those other idols. And I don't think there's a better way of avoiding them than just destroying them. That's it. And here's a hint to how we do that. Oh, the book's so good. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. Simple instructions. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. And read between the lines on that. That means if we're going to test all things and hold on to what's good, holding on to the good also means letting go of the bad. That's implied in there. You can't do both. You can't hold on to both. You got to hold on to the good and ditch the bad. And we overcome our unbelief both ways. They both work. Keeping Christ's case by the good that we have seen in it when he played it out, but also dropping the rest of the cases when they don't pass the test. Paul reiterates this whole idea in Romans, and he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, right? And all of the stuff. Reject all of those offers that this place has and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, having actually seen their empty offers. You spend enough time here, you start to know for a fact what's empty and what's not. And the more you do that, well, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, right? Because every other option that competes with Christ's promise can cause doubt. That is clear. But if you are not afraid to look inside those other offers, then seeing how they actually stack up against the Christian case can actually convince us to have confidence in our choice. And in that way, defeating doubt fosters faith. They're two sides of the same coin. When you eliminate those, you're proving this one. Process of elimination. Okay, so now I know, does it sound like I'm saying that we need to indulge and engage every single idea that opposes Christian belief? Yes. No, I'm just kidding. No, we don't have to. That's impossible, right? We just don't have the hours in the day to be able to do that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if the footing of your faith, wherever you're at right now, ever feels faulty because of a compelling argument from a competing case, don't count doubt out. Don't think that that's a terrible sign of weakness that you need to ignore. It's not. It's a sign of honesty that you should explore. Be honest with yourself. Because if God is God and who he says he is, and he has that real deal truth that we want, then we shouldn't be afraid of looking anywhere else. We should be eager to open any other case and expose it as inferior. Because his is the best, if it is the truth. So again, it's that easy. I think we've solved it all, right? Game over. No. Here's the problem. There's this little problem called our humanity that gets in the way sometimes. The problem is we want things so bad. Oh, we want something so bad that they make us doubt that a life of meaning is really what it's even all about. You get a cool enough car, you might be eternity schmaternity. We're that shallow sometimes. Houses, cars, clothes, and just good old-fashioned cash are all very appealing, right? And being good-looking, admired, and in control would feel very fulfilling. And a life just full of accomplishments, awards, and appreciation is hard to turn down, I bet. Wouldn't know. But when we look into each other offer, remember this. When you're checking out anything, when anything seems appealing to you, remember, none of them give life. They all require life. They take a life to even have any value. And you know, eventually, at some point, this is how it works down here. God's very, very clever. Eventually, we're all going to see the true value in the contents of our case, the one that we've been holding on to. Closed, just wondering so more. We want to know, but we're gonna open it up on that day. We're gonna open it up, and here's the point: while you're waiting, wouldn't you like to remove the doubt before you find out? I know I would. I know I would, because that's what's causing all this conflict down here sometimes. And whether you're Joseph in jail, like we've been talking about, Joseph in jail, wondering, what's God going to do from your dungeon? Or you're a dishwasher today at a diner and you're having doubts about the promise of God's perfection that he said, and you go, I don't see it here in my dish pit. You know, that's tricky. Either way, if you ask God to increase your faith, make sense of this stuff, he's going to do it, but he's going to ask you to deal with your doubt by trusting him enough to follow his game plan, especially when it is uncomfortable. Good news, bad news, right? And that's totally reasonable, though. That makes sense, because in this world, you will have trouble. That is a promise, guys. In this world, you will have trouble. You have proven that over and over again. But take heart. Take heart, says Jesus. I have overcome the world. And right there, that's the reasonable and reliable behavior of a truly trustworthy Savior. We can trust that. That makes it believe better than, that's convincing. And also, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Right? Because that's the reasonable and reliable behavior of a truly convinced believer. And to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. And right there, that is the reasonable and reliable behavior of a truly loving God who wants his kids to find their way home to enjoy the meaning and the life that we were created to want. That's it. That's it. I love that. Just as I was victorious, he said, just as I was victorious, he showed us the path. We just got to walk it. We have the map. We have the cheat sheet. It's just amazing. So listen, all I'm really saying here is this is about as simple as the whole gospel really gets, all right? Here it is in a fun little sentence. Jesus overcame the game so you can do the same. That's it. And that's not me being flippant here. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just trying to remind you to dial down the despair when the worries of this world start drowning you in doubt, which we can all identify with. I'm trying to tell you that God's got you right now, always, never hasn't. And once you, any one of us, once we realize that you actually want what he's offering, he himself is willing to walk you through the steps to grow the trust that builds your belief into that convincing case. You're not driven and tossed by any waves anymore. You're convinced you're there. Feels so much better. And I'll tell you, that is a lot more comfortable than the perpetual pain of nagging doubt. Oh, it hurts all the time, just a little bit. So it's a spiritual hangnail, right? That nagging doubt, just wondering. All we got to do, though, to get rid of that is be bold enough to take them on, take those doubts head on, and he'll turn them from distractions of doubt into foundations of faith guaranteed. So, deal or no deal, and let's pray. Father God, oh, we love you, and we're convinced that there is nothing that can get in the way of the love and the life that you want to give every one of us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you give us the strength to face the fears and the unseen so that we can boldly grab that good and let go of the rest. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for showing us the way to the comfort of confidence that defeats doubt and leads us to life. And to that, everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.